Hi, this is Keith, your host at the Retro Radio Podcast, and here's another classic double feature from Amos and Andy.
The 2395th day of broadcasting, August 19th, 1936.
This hour and this music have meant to millions of Americans a welcome visit from two beloved personalities. In fact, through the seasons, Amos and Andy have become more than personalities, they are real people. On this occasion, we present Mr. Lennox R. Lohr, the president of the National Broadcasting Company, who will bring a special greeting to them. Mr. Lohr.
On the eve of the 10th anniversary of the National Broadcasting Company, it is a pleasure to salute Amos and Andy, who for 7 years of that period have played a leading role in making RT Network famous. My early appreciation of this outstanding program is quickened into personal interest through association with Amos and Andy at a Century of Progress Chicago, where the Skyride Towers were dedicated to them. As this program now commences its 8th year, the National Broadcasting Company takes pride in recognizing the achievement of Amos and Andy. It is to these pioneers and friends of long standing that we give our congratulations tonight and our appreciation of the many pleasant hours we have spent together. We take you now to Amos and Andy in Hollywood with the hope that this program tonight is only an early milestone on a long road of happy birthdays ahead.
Today, Amos and Andy drove their taxicab up in the mountains to Lake Arrowhead. They decided to explore that section of the country, and after driving for almost an hour, they found themselves lost. By mistake, they turned on a narrow dirt road, and unfortunately, the car stopped out of gasoline. As the scene opens now, we find the boys walking down the road about 100 yards from their taxicab, headed for a modest farmhouse to use the telephone. Here they are.
I didn't know that we was out of gasoline. We must have a leak in the tank or something.
Yeah, where in the world is it?
Well, I don't know where we are. We're somewhere up near Lake Arrowhead, up in the mountains. That's all I know.
Well, how did we ever get on this road we is on?
Well, you was the one that told me to turn down this road.
This ain't a mess. I don't know. Here we is, 100 miles away from Los Angeles, up in the mountains. Done lost our way, and we're out of gasoline. I can see us sleeping in this taxi cab up here now. I'm walking my feet off to get some gas.
Well, the thing for us to do is to go to this house down here and ask the man to let us use the telephone.
And don't forget, if somebody brings us some gasoline out here, it's going to cost us plenty of money.
Well, if the man would let us use his telephone, we just got to call up the nearest filling station and ask them to send it out and pay them whatever they want to charge us. Unless we want to walk to the nearest place and get it, but that might be miles away from here.
Well, here's the house. Yeah, there's the man's mailbox with his name on it. What does that spell?
Say on the mailbox, W-A-L-T-E-R-H-U-S-T-O-N.
W-A-L-T-E-R-H-U-S-T-O-N. Yeah. Well, let's get on in there and ask them.
Yeah, I guess it's all right if we go up to the front door, Ann.
Yeah, there's a lady over there working in the garden, too.
Yeah, well, come on, let's go up there. If he wants us to pay him for using the telephone, let's pay him.
Yeah, well, Go ahead. Knock on the front door.
Well, come on with me. Walk up on the porch with me, and don't start talking big enough now when you see me.
Well, you do all the talking if you want. This thing of running out of gasoline this far from home here is bad.
Yeah, well, wait a minute. I hear somebody coming.
How do you do?
How you do, sir?
How you do, sir?
Could we use your telephone, please, sir?
Well, I'm very sorry, but I don't have a telephone.
Oh, you ain't got none, huh?
No, is there anything wrong? Could I be of any assistance to you?
Well, we got on this road out there in front of your house, and we run out of gasoline, and we was going phone to the filling station or something. We didn't see no automobiles going by, you see?
We kind of lost, mister.
I guess we can walk to the filling station, though, if you tell us which way the nearest one is.
Well, the nearest filling station, boys, is quite a long ways. But I think I could let you have a little gasoline.
Yeah, so we'll pay you for it.
Oh, that's all right. Let's walk out here and go around in the back.
Yeah, sir. Well, thank you, sir.
Yeah.
Where are you boys from, Los Angeles?
Well, we is from New York.
Well, we drove out from New York to Hollywood on our vacation with a trailer, and we left the trailer in Hollywood, and we drove up that Lake Arrowhead over there, and I don't know, we started messing around up here, and we got lost.
And run out of gasoline.
Well, that's too bad, boys. Now, let's see, what have we here? Listen, you boys don't have a can or anything, do you?
I know, sir. We ain't got nothing, but we look around and see if we can find something.
Yeah.
Oh, here's one you can have. Yeah, you can keep this.
This sure is nice of you, mister.
Yeah, sir. We won't pay you for
it. Oh, no, that's all right. You forget about that. Sit down there. There's a little bench there that I keep out here. And this can holds, now let's see, about 3 gallons. I'll fill it up for you.
Oh, no, sir. We don't need that much.
That's all right. I've got plenty of gasoline. Now, here's a funnel. The boys are a long way from home.
Yes, sir. That's a bad feeling, too.
How would you like to have a sandwich before you go?
Well,
No, thank you, sir. We just had something to eat while ago. Oh, that's plenty of gasoline there. Ain't no use filling
it. No. That's all right. I might just as well fill it up.
It sure is nice, sir. We didn't want to bother you. We just wanted to use the telephone, and yours was the only house that we could see around here.
Well, that's 3 gallons of gasoline you can have.
Now, I wish you'd let me pay you for this.
Oh, no. That's all right. Maybe someday I'll run out of gasoline in front of your place. and I'll call on you, and you can pay me back, huh?
Yes, sir. How come you live up here in the mountains by yourself?
Well, I'll tell you. Come over there.
Yes, sir.
I'll sit down with you a minute. Sit down, young fella.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir.
You live up here alone, huh? How come?
Well, no, I don't live alone. I live here with my wife part of the year. She's out there in the garden now.
Yes, sir.
You see, I'm in a business that, well, it's sort of nerve-wracking. When I'm working, it feels like I'm on a merry-go-round.
You work in Los Angeles or Hollywood or someplace?
Yes, I've worked in Hollywood quite a bit. I've worked in New York quite a bit, too, in Chicago. When I finish my work, well, I just have a feeling that I'd like to get away. So I come up here and enjoy this little place.
Just the two of you, huh?
Yes. You know, I find that if a man would get away from his work part of the time, just think, without the turmoil of worry, going here and there, well, it does you a lot of good.
Yeah, that rest do anybody good. That's what I preach all the time.
Yes, but you can't rest too much. But after you hit the ball and work night and day, well, it's nice to get away.
Yeah, the man got to have some rest all
right.
That's right.
And a lot of them think, though, that they don't need it. When I work pretty hard. Now, I've seen some of my friends try to keep going, and I've seen them crack under the strain. You know, boys, when I come up here, I find that I can think better. I get something out of life that I didn't know existed.
Yes, sir.
That Hollywood is a busy place, all right.
Yes, Hollywood is a busy place. I guess a lot of people think it's sort of a playground. But a lot of people work awfully hard in Hollywood, and I've seen the work there drive them almost insane.
Yeah, that moving picture business is a tough business.
Yes, I'm afraid you're right.
I guess when a man or some of them people down there, them actors and all that, in the moving picture business, or when they get on the stage or something, they is under a strain then. That is a strain.
Well, you know, I don't know that there's any other business that takes up 24 hours of a man's time every day when he's working. But, boys, this little place up here, well, I think every man in his heart would like to come to such a place someday and spend some time. Of course, some people might not like the dead silence of the night or the quietness of the day, but I love it. Yes, sir, I love it.
Yeah, sir, well, brothers, we'll get going now. You say I can have this can?
All right, yes, keep that. Throw it away when you're finished with it.
Well, we sure appreciate it.
Yeah, sir, will you let us pay you for this
one? No. I've been paid by talking to you. I'm kind of glad you dropped in.
Yeah, sir, well, we sure is lucky, all right. And before we go, I want to tell you how much we thank you for giving us the gasoline. Save us a long walk, all right.
Bye, boys. Well, good luck to you.
Yeah, good luck to you.
Goodbye. Thank you very much.
Yes, sir. Is we lucky?
I say we are. You know, he's one of the nicest fellas I ever met in my life. His face kind of made you feel at home, didn't it?
It sure did.
Huh?
Nice place they got you, too. Yeah, there's the mailbox. What'd that say on there again?
WALTERHUSCON. Nice fellow, wasn't it?
He sure was.
The character of Walter Houston was played by Mr. Walter Houston himself. Amos and Andy would like to extend their sincere appreciation for his kindness in appearing on the program tonight. On this, the first night of Amos and Andy's eighth year on the air for Pepsodent products, the Pepsodent Company wishes to express its gratitude and appreciation for the loyalty and fine showmanship of these two boys. May we, on behalf of you, the Amos and Andy audience, salute them with cordial good wishes for their continued success. And now, I know that Mr. Houston would be happy to say a few words to the Amos and Andy listeners at this time. Mr. Houston.
Thank you. Friends, first I want to tell you that it has been a great pleasure for me to work with the two boys whom I have listened to for many years. Whenever the opportunity presents itself, I invariably listen to Amos and Andy. This is their anniversary, the starting of their eighth year on the network. I have read their biography. Many of you know this. But for the benefit of those who may not be familiar with the facts, here they are. These boys started working with colored dialect in January 1926 under the name of Sam and Henry. This program, which was similar to Amos and Andy, was broadcast in the early days of radio over WGN in Chicago. After 2 years of Sam and Henry, the boys changed their names to Amos and Andy. In other words, Amos and Andy was actually started in March 1928. They broadcast at that time over station WMAQ in Chicago, with additional stations added by means of electrical transcription. But it was 7 years ago tonight that they started on what might be called the big time. As you all know, they have established a record in radio broadcasting. They have received today many congratulatory messages from people in every walk of life. They deserve it. Tonight's episode, in which I had the pleasure of participating, was their 2,395th day of broadcast. As you know, the boys broadcast twice each day. I think these boys should be congratulated on their long record of daily broadcasting, of these episodes which carries with it a streak of not only human interest, but of philosophy, which I have often enjoyed myself. Their humorous episodes have been a joy to many people for an awful long time. I congratulate these boys not only upon their ability to impersonate these characters, all which they do themselves, but for writing this material each day. They are seated by me now, squirming in their chairs, and I'm going to ask them to say just a few words. It's been a pleasure to have had the opportunity of talking to you. I thank you. And here they are, Ames and Andy.
Well, that's very nice of you, Mr. Houston, and it's certainly nice of you to say all those sweet things.
Yeah, even me, I was blushing. It ain't nobody ever heard me blush on the radio.
Well, our program is almost up. We just want to tell our listeners how grateful we are to have passed another milestone in radio broadcasting. We've been grateful to the cooperation we've received here in Hollywood. We want to thank Major Law for his kindness, the Pepsodent Company for their nice message, Mr. Houston for his cordial greeting. And we want to tell you how grateful we are to you listeners who make these anniversaries possible. We want to thank you and tell you we are very, very thrilled tonight to say good night.
Good night, folks.
It's a classic.
Don't go away yet.
We have another great show today. It's going to be one from... Well, thank you very much.
Missing Persons Bureau, February 4th, 1944.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Amos and Andy Show. One of the great ambitions of Amos' life has been to see Andy working at a steady job. Amos has just run across an idea which he thinks will turn the trick, and right now he's in Andy's office telling him about it.
Now, what do you think of it, Ender?
Well, let me get the thing straight.
Well, in other words, a lot of people is missing. People getting lost, people is trying to trace kinfolk.
Yeah, and you think that I ought to open up a missing people's bureau?
Well, maybe you and the king face together, and the customers pays you for finding lost people.
Yeah, but tell me something. How can anybody get lost? The streets has got signs on them. You can always get the name of the town off the railroad station.
Oh, son, I don't think you got the idea. Suppose that a man is in Pittsburgh and his kinfolks is here in Harlem, but they don't know that he's in Pittsburgh.
Well, why don't he write home?
Well, maybe he's broke, say a man's in Baltimore.
Well, now, wait a minute. If the man's broke, how'd he get to Baltimore?
Look, Andy, I'm just trying to give you an example. I ain't talking about no real person.
You mean there ain't no man?
No, there ain't.
Well, we sure wasted a lot of time chasing them all over the country.
No, I tell you, Andy, this missing people's business could really be something. I got the whole idea from a magazine that I read. There are some big companies downtown in New York, like the Nationwide Missing Persons Bureau. They're doing the same thing and doing a great job of it. And you and the Kingfish could go in partners and make a lot of money on the thing.
Well, of course we ain't going to be as good as them big companies downtown, because they got disconnections all over the country.
Well, that's where my idea come in. You see, the Mystic Knights of the Sea got branch lodges all over the country, too. And with the help of the brothers and the other lodges, why, you really got some connections there.
Yeah. Yeah, Amos, that's a great idea.
Yeah.
I'm going over to see the Kingfish at the lodge right now.
Well, that don't sound like a bad idea at all, Brother Ender.
No, we sure ought to be able to make a lot of money with it.
Oh, you're right about that. I'm definitely interested in the proposition.
Yeah, you see, Kingfish, this business is perfectly honest and above board.
Oh, that's all right. I'm still interested.
Yeah, well, what you think of it? We call it the Missing People's Bureau. And don't forget, we can find these people through the lodge members all over the country.
Put it there. We is in business, partner dear. Let's set up the company right now.
Right.
Now, Andy, you as the vice president is going to have a lot of reporting duties.
Yeah, you're right. Wait a minute. Just a minute. Did you say vice president?
Yeah, that's right. You as the vice president. Oh, it's going to be great.
Now, excuse me for protruding, Kingfish. But has we got a president of our company?
Oh, certainly we got a president. After all, when you got a vice president, you got to have somebody that the vice president can be vice to. You can't do that.
Well, now, excuse me for protruding again, Kingfish. But who is our president?
The president is,
me. By what great landslide did you arrive in on? Why has you always got to be president, Kingfish?
Oh, listen, Andy, I hate to talk about this to you, but I'll explain it. Pull all your brains together in one lump now.
Yeah, I'm pushing. I got to push.
Partner, dear, no man can live forever. Now, if something happened to me as president of our business would continue to prosper, because a capable, two-fisted businessman as you, the vice president, would step into my shoes.
Yeah, I guess I would.
But on the other hand, Andy, if you was the president of our company and something happened to you, like getting shot or falling in the river and drowning or getting run over by a 5-ton truck, poor, ignorant, no good, incapable me would never be able to step into your shoes.
Yeah, I never thought of that.
So it's up to you, Andy. If you want to be president, we'll make the switch right now.
No, the job sounds too dangerous to me.
Well, then let's get going. Now, the first thing we want to do is to call up Gwendell over at the newspaper, put an ad in the Harlem paper letting the people know that we is running a missing persons bureau.
Well, fellas, I see your ad in the paper yesterday. Y'all started business, huh?
Yeah, just waiting for customers.
Yeah, just waiting for somebody to lose somebody, Amos.
Yeah, we is all organized already. The Kingfish is president and I is the vice president.
Oh, you only the vice president, huh?
Yeah, well, that's just till the Kingfish get hit by a 5-ton truck.
You see, Amos, I was handling the dangerous part.
Yeah, well, I don't know what you mean, but I guess it's all right. I think if you fellas work hard at this thing, you can really make a success out of this.
Well, we're going ahead full speed.
Well, good luck to you, and I'll see you tomorrow, fella. So long.
So long, Amos.
So long, Amos. You know, Andy, that's a pretty good idea Amos got for us, this Missing People's Bureau. We ought to do something for Amos.
Yeah, well, if he ever lose anybody, why, we'll find him and give Amos 10% discount.
We really organized good here, Andy. And I even got 3 dozen beautiful handkerchiefs, too. Oh, we is all set here.
Handkerchiefs? What is they for?
Oh, well, when somebody come in here and start talking about their lost relative, it's only natural that they're going to start crying. And we want them to know that in time of their sorrow, we thinks of everything.
Yeah, and you going to give them a handkerchief?
Yeah, at the wholesale price of 25 cents each. That's what we're going to do there. A subsidiary thing we got there.
You is really thinking of everything, ain't you?
Oh, I tell you, this is going to be great. You know that?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Now, look here. If this is a customer, let me handle the thing. Now, you just keep quiet. Come in. Come in.
How do you do? Is this the Missing People's Bureau?
Yes, ma'am, it is.
Yeah, won't you sit down on that box, madam? These chairs that we are sitting in is the only two we got. Our furniture is out being stuffed over.
Thank you.
Plead your case, madam.
Well, my name is Mrs. William Selby. I'm interested in locating an aunt of mine that I have not seen in 10 years.
Andy, not yet. Put them handkerchiefs back. Go ahead, Miss Selby.
Well, it so happens that this aunt of mine, her name is Bertha Brand. She took care of me all during my childhood.
She did, huh?
And she nursed me through 2 serious illnesses. She supported me. In fact, she ruined her own life taking care of me.
Must have been a wonderful woman.
Well, anyway, when I got married, she left. And I've been out of touch with her for the past 10 years. But now my husband's doing fine. I'm in a position to give her the care and help that I know she needs very much in her old age.
Yeah, that's a wonderful thing you was doing, Miss Selby.
You can see why I want to find this poor old helpless lady.
Is you got any idea where she is at?
Well, no. That's why I've come to you. I've got to find her. I just have a feeling that she's all alone somewhere and needs me.
Do you really think that she's all alone?
Yes, I do.
And,
Yeah, Kingfish.
Oh, pass me one of them handkerchiefs, will you please?
To tell you the truth, Kingfish, I was regusted with you.
Well, now, don't worry about it, Andy. We'll get business.
Listen, we ain't gonna get no place if every time a customer say something sad, you're gonna bust out crying.
Well, Brother Andy, can I help it if I was the senseless type?
Oh. Listen, Kingfish. Listen here, you gotta get tough in this business.
Yeah.
I don't blame the woman for walking out after seeing the president break down. Listen, if we're going to get anywhere, you got to keep a lip up a stiff.
I promise you, partner dear, I'll hold my motion.
Yeah, well, it ain't just that we lose a customer, but it's the cash expense that it costs us.
What do you mean?
Well, you done snippled up 2 of our brand new handkerchiefs.
Well, I tell you, Andy.
Come in.
Well, Brother Crawford and his wife.
How do you do? Come on in here, John.
But, dear, can't we talk this over before we go ahead?
John!
Yes, dear.
Well, what brings you all here?
Yeah, what can we do for you?
My wife...
John! I will take care of this.
Yes,
now, boys, last night Amos told me that you were running a Missing People's Bureau, and we want to find my dear brother. We haven't seen him for a long time. He's my own flesh and blood, and I don't know where the poor boy is.
Gee, I hope you find the fellow all right.
Kingfish, pull yourself together, will you?
But, dear, I am sure that your brother is happy wherever he is.
Well, Mrs. Crawford, you has done come to the right place. We'll get your brother.
Our slogan is, if they is above the ground, we'll find them.
You see, boys, I have been telling my dear wife here that trying to find her brother is a waste of time and money. He is the Rolling Stone type and always has been.
Well, that's our business, Brother Crawford, to keep these stones from rolling.
On this piece of paper is his full name, complete description, and everything. And I want to bring him back to live with us.
Just a minute, though, dear. Living with us. Now, we don't want to inconvenience your brother. Maybe the boy would rather continue being a bum.
John? You forget that I'm a carbon.
Yeah, well, we'll find him.
But, dear, what is the use of putting your brother to all of the trouble of coming back and cutting down my clothes to fit him and everything?
Just a minute, John.
What is the fact?
Well, 4 years ago, he was in Oklahoma. Then we heard he was in Texas. And the last word we heard, he was in Michigan.
Heading south, huh? Yeah.
Personally, dear, I would love to have your brother Lewis live with us, but would it be right to have Lewis here and his heart in Michigan?
Shut up, John. I want him found.
Yes, dear.
Now, boys, John got a nice Christmas bonus, and he will take care of the finance.
Oh, that will be $10. Yeah, if he can be found, we'll find him.
John, give the boys $10.
Yes.
Amos assures me that you boys are doing everything you can to make a success of this business. And I'm depending on you to find my brother Lewis.
Here you are, boys. Here is $10.
Yeah, thank you. I'll take it.
Come, John. And as soon as you're here, be sure to let me know.
Oh, we will, we will.
Yeah, so long.
Listen, Kingfish, now I know that you is the president, but this company has got two treasures. Give me $5.
The reason I have come back here to your office alone is a matter of very confidential nature.
Yeah, what is it, Brother Crawford?
Yeah, what's the matter?
Well, first of all, I want to tell you that my wife is very unhappy. And it's about this brother-in-law of mine.
Well, don't get impatient. We're going to find your brother-in-law.
That's exactly what I'm afraid of. My brother-in-law, Lewis, is a bum. He will lay around my house, do nothing, wear my clothes, eat like a horse, and almost drive me crazy.
Yeah, that's standard equipment for brother-in-laws.
In other words, well, boys, this is the first time that I have ever crossed my wife. And for goodness sakes, don't tell her. But I am willing to pay through the nose.
What do you mean?
I will pay you boys $25 if you do not find my brother-in-law, Lewis.
Brother Crawford, you have done made a deal.
Yeah, the vice president seconds the motion.
Yes.
My wife says that the search must go on for 30 days. Now, boys, if you can arrange not to find him by then, I will give you $25.
You can count on us, Brother Crawford. You ain't got nothing to worry about.
Thank you very much, and goodbye.
So long, so long. You know something, Amanda?
What's that, Kingfish?
We might make more money not finding people.
The time is a week later. The boys are still in the missing people's business and thus far have been very successful in not finding Mr. Crawford's brother-in-law.
So everything going along all right, huh, Andy?
Oh, yeah. We is really rolling.
You know, Andy, like I told you before, if you get stuck on any of these cases you get, that big company downtown called the Nationwide Missing Persons Bureau can help you. They find an awful lot of people.
Yeah, well, we'll never need them, I don't think. Of course, I got a lot of...
Well, things. Hello there, boys. Glad you're here, Andy. Glad you're here.
What you so excited about, Kingfish?
Andy, I think we're going to have a little trouble on the Crawford case.
Yeah?
Brother Crawford just told me that his wife is getting jumpy about us not finding a brother, and she going to call up here and see why we ain't getting no action for her.
Hmm.
Well, I don't know why she's complaining. You was looking for a brother, ain't you?
Oh, sure. We've been looking for him all over, but he ain't there.
Yeah, you see, Amos,
Well, I'll be running along now, fella. See you later.
Yeah, okay, Amos, okay.
I'll answer the phone. Milton Peebles Bureau, President speaking.
Kingfish, This is Mrs. John Crawford.
Oh, yes, Miss Crawford.
A whole week has passed, and I've heard nothing from you about my brother Lewis.
Oh, we is right after him, though, Miss Crawford. We going to find him.
Yes, but how long are you going to take? You haven't even put an ad in any of the Harlem papers asking for information about him.
Yeah, well, we was just getting ready to put an ad in the newspaper now.
Well, I want to see that ad.
Yeah, well, you see, ain't no sense in putting it in the Harlem paper, because if he was in Harlem, you would have seen him on the street. We want to put the ad in a big paper.
Well, I want to see it when you do.
Yeah, well, we'll clip it and bring it to you.
All right. Good night.
And Miss Crawford wants action. We got to put the ad in the paper.
Yeah, but don't forget our deal with her husband. If we puts an ad in the paper, why, Lewis is liable to see it and show up, and we'll lose the $25 that Brother Crawford promises.
Yeah, well, we got to put an ad in the paper about that Lofander. And I know just the paper to put it in.
Which one is that?
The Wall Street Journal.
Oh, Lewis.
Yes, Mr. Burns.
And by the way, did you take those stock sheets over to the cashier?
Yes, I gave them to him.
Oh, fine. Now, Mr. Marshall wants you to take these bonds over to 64 Wall Street. It's a rush.
I'll get them right over there.
Oh, and one more thing. This ad in today's Wall Street Journal. Could this by any chance be you?
What is that there?
Right here.
Hmm. Say, that do sound like it mean me, don't it?
Yeah.
Lewis Carlton. Yeah. That's the same way I spell my name, too.
Might be something important.
Yeah. Anybody knowing the whereabouts of Lewis Carlton, please communicate with the Stevens Brown Missing People's Bureau, 135th Street. Please keep this ad confidential. Say, Mr. Burns, after I deliver these bonds, I better run on up and see what this is all about.
Hey, Kingfish, look. Some fella coming in here. Look like a customer.
Yeah, it do look like that, don't it? Look like the type of fella that might be missing somebody. Oh, come in, sir. Come in.
Thank you.
What can we do for you, mister?
Well, you had an ad in the Wall Street Journal that you wanted some information about the whereabouts of Lewis Carlton.
Oh, yeah. Well, that ad don't mean nothing. Here, have a cigar. Just forget about it.
Yeah, just undisignore the whole thing. It's just one of them cases where we're looking for somebody, and on top of that, why, we ain't looking for him.
Yeah, well, see you again sometime, buddy.
Well, I happen to be Lewis Carson.
Yeah, well, if you... wait a minute, you can't do that to us.
What do you mean, boys?
You is Lewis Carlton?
Yes, that's my name.
Wait a minute now. Let's talk this thing over quietly. And you see the pickerment we're getting in here?
Yeah. Well, you see, Mr. Carlton, sit on that box over there, will you?
Yeah,
I want to talk to my partner here.
Yeah, but Andy, we got two deals. And one is 10 to do it, and one is 25 not to do it.
Yeah, I know that, the same as you do.
And to do it looks like it's ahead of the not to do it.
Wait a minute. What is your name again?
Lewis Carlson.
Hmm, still the same.
Andy, we got to get him out of town.
Sure is.
Mr. Carlton, step up to our desk here. Let me explain to you how these mistakes is made.
Yeah, explain to him how we run our business.
That's what I'm going to do. You see, our stenographer makes a lot of mistakes, and I can't figure out why the head stenographer of our Missing People's Bureau is put your name in the ad.
Well, why didn't you ask her?
She ain't here. We don't know where she is. She's missing.
Yeah, you see, she used to work in the secret office right behind that petition there. We went back there to look for her yesterday, and she was gone.
So, you see, Lewis, this whole thing has done been a mistake.
Yeah, and the best thing for you to do is to forget all about it. Tell me, is you ever thunk about traveling?
Not me. I's already been where I's going.
Yeah, but for a change, you ought to get away from the humdrum resistance of the city life, you know. Get out with the trees and the brooks and the babbling birds and that stuff, you know.
you know, get away from everything.
Yeah, special us.
I tell you, I don't want to go away. I'm happy right where I is.
Yeah, but there must be a lot of places you ain't seen. The Grand Canyon, for instance.
Listen, of all things, I don't want to go peeping down no Grand Canyon. Why, a man could fall into a place like that and get lost.
Yeah, now we're getting somewhere.
That ain't for me. That ain't for me, brother.
Look, then, why don't you go out to California? Yeah, that's the California. Beautiful, golden California, where the sun meets the moon, and the moon meets the movie stars, and everybody else meets everybody else. It's wonderful out there.
Yeah, we'll take you right down to Depot now.
Yeah, and don't forget to drop us a postcard sometime.
Now, wait a minute. I ain't going no place.
Yeah, uh-oh.
What's the matter?
Look, coming across the street.
Oh, me. The Missing People's Bureau is having trouble right now.
Yeah, that's all your fault, Kingfish. There she comes.
I just happen to be passing here. John is on his way over now. Lewis, my brother.
Sister, what is you doing in here?
Oh, you dear boy, I'm so glad to see you. And Andy, Kingfish, you've done a fine job. Oh, Lewis, I'm so happy we found you. Where have you been?
I've been living over in Brooklyn. Gee, I'm glad to see you, sister. So you was the one that was looking for me, huh?
Yes, and this is wonderful to have you back. Kingfish, you and Andy have done a good job.
Yeah,
I'll say we is.
Lewis, to think that after all these years, I found you. Oh, look. Here comes John across the street. He'll be surprised to see you, Louis.
Yeah, this is really a surprise party.
Wait a minute. I've got an idea. Louis, let's you and me hide in the back office behind that petition. Then we can jump out and John all over, and he'll really be surprised.
Wait a minute, though, Miss Crawford. Don't you see we
Come
can't...
Come on, Louis. We'll leave the door open so we can hear what they're saying. Come on, John.
Kingfish.
Yeah, I know. Come in, Brother Crawford. How's everything going at the office
with
you?
Yeah, yeah.
Very good, boys. Very good. But what I wanted to check with you was...
Listen, Brother Crawford. Nice weather. We haven't made it.
I am not interested in the weather. I want to talk to you about that big bum brother-in-law.
Do-do-do-do-do-do.
Yeah, let's everybody start singing here.
Oh, I way in the act, bay, do, 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 do.
Just a minute, fellas. I am a very busy man. Now, boys, we have made a secret agreement. And I just want to make sure that you don't double-cross me and find that no good brother-in-law.
No.
You remember that when I promised you $25 not to find my brother-in-law, you said you would not find him. Now, Kingfish, will you please stop pinching me?
Oh, hey, well, I'm just trying to get some dirt off your coat there.
come on. Let's all get out of here, Brother Crawford.
My wife is always talking about her being a Carlton. And just between the three of us, none of the Carltons is anything to brag about.
Oh, me.
John Crawford, what does all this mean? Yeah.
Why, dear, Lewis...
I heard every word, and I'll straighten this mess out in 1 minute.
Just a second. Now, what is she going to do, Miss Crawford?
Kingfish, you and Andy are running a crooked business, and I'm going to turn you both over to the police. Hand me that telephone.
Come on, Andy. Let's get out of here.
Coming right with you, Kingfish.
And as for you, John Crawford...
Just a minute, Kingfish. Andy, wait just a minute. How many places did you go to, Lightning?
I has done gone all over.
So has I. Well, I guess I'll call up.
I see Mrs. Crawford's brother sleeping in the parlor at Brother Crawford's house.
Oh, you did, huh?
Hello?
Is this the Nationwide Missing Persons Bureau?
Yes.
I want to report two missing people that has been gone for several days. George Stevens and Andrew Brown.
You better make it three, Miss Amos. Mrs. Crawford can't find a husband either.
sure to join us again next Friday night at this same time for another Amos and Andy show. Our program is broadcast to our armed forces everywhere. Until next Friday, then, this is Harlow Wilcox speaking for all of us, bidding all of you a pleasant good night.
Presented by the Retro Radio Podcast, retro-otr.com.
Bye.